Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 8. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not speak, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I changed it. You hear me? No? No? Yes. I changed the title this morning. As I went through my sermon, my notes this morning, I thought that this is a better title for my talk this morning. More excellent way. I think this is more forth-looking, more dynamic, more positive. Hopefully my sermon is as such as well. But the sermon is the same. 3 weeks ago, Pastor Wu shared on Corinthians chapter 12 on the different gifts. And when Andrew prayed, he also prayed that God will use our spiritual gifts in church. And each one of us, God has given at least one gift. So there should be no unemployed members in the church. So everybody has at least one gift. Some has more. And last time, when we looked at Corinthians chapter 12, we looked at the various gifts. And at the end of chapter 12, that verse 13, 30, 30, which is very often not being paid much attention to. And at the end of chapter 12, and it says that earnestly desire the greater gift, but I will show you a still more excellent way, which lead to today's topic. What is the more excellent way? Something that is above the spiritual gift, which is love. We all know because the topic on the bulletin is what is love. And I read this on the internet that on Amazon, I'm sure all of you use Amazon, the book titles that contain the word heaven, there are, I guess this changes probably every month, right? But at least when this was written, in Amazon, the books that have the title heaven, there are at least 2,652 books that contains this word heaven. So people are interested in heaven, but people are more interested in money. So there are at least 10,000 books that has the word money in the title. And when you look at sex, even more popular. There are 16,765 books when this was counted as the word sex in the title of the book. And people are also interested in God, surprise. There are 18,800 books that the book title contains the word God. But among all the books, there are 30,000 titles that has the word love in it. So people are always seeking for love. And when Paul talked about the different gifts, speaking in tongues, especially Paul highlighted this, the message of knowledge, wisdom, the power to heal, divine healing, prophecy, miracles, powers, distinguishing between spirits, the interpretation of tongues. There are many gifts in the church. Paul here in chapter 12, he especially highlighted the gifts that are more public, that people can see, and the gift that most people want to seek after. Very few people want to seek after the gift of prayers. No one wants to go to prayer meetings or visitation, hospitality. Most people want to be standing up at the front, speaking or singing. Sorry, Pastor Tim, I'm not saying about you. Otherwise, next week, no one will come up and lead the singing. But most of people, at least in the church of Corinth, they seek after speaking in tongues, because that's the gift that people can see, and people will almost be worshiping those brothers and sisters who have the gift. And Paul here at the end of chapter 12, end of the last sermon that Pastor Ruth was preaching, and then Paul pointed out, I will show you a still more excellent way. It's above all this gift. So this excellent way, which is love, we know, is not part of the gift. Sometimes we got mixed up with the thought that Paul is talking about another greater gift after, beyond, and above what he described in chapter 12. Actually, that's a full stop. That's why I use a different color. Earnestly desire the greater gift, and then stopped. But I show you something even more excellent, above, something that everybody sitting here this morning, it's not a spiritual gift that only certain people, so only certain people can have the gift of preaching or even singing. I don't have the gift of singing. Certain gifts, only certain people would have. Only God picks certain people. But here, Paul is not talking about another gift. He's talking about something that's beyond all these gifts that he has described. Something that is even greater. It's more excellent. More excellent. Which is love. How important, how excellent this love is. And then he starts comparing this love with what he just taught us in chapter 12. He said that even if you have the gift of speaking in tongues, the tongues of man or of angel, but do not have love, you're only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. In Chinese, we have a very good term to describe this. I don't know. I'm trying to think of an equivalent in English. In Chinese, you know, you're only a noise. You're only a noise. Only a noise. So Paul is saying that even if you have all this great gift, at least at that time, they see this speaking in tongue is a great gift. People in the Corinth, they're all seeking after this. So even if you can speak in tongues, or of the tongues of angel, but if you do not have love when you exercise the gift, you're only a noise. And I've got a really good illustration here. Say if you have lots of money, I didn't count the number of zero. I just put down a lot of zero. And obviously, I don't have that much money. So I don't know how much money there. But I think we all know it's a lot of money, a lot of zero. The more zero you have, it's more money. But if you take away the first digit, the one, and what do you have? Ernest, what do you have? Nothing. You have nothing. So Paul is trying to say that though you may have a lot of gifts and talents to serve in the church, but if you don't have love, it's like form. This number, which is a big, huge number, to nothing. Even if you have the gift of prophecy, we all want to hear people who can tell us what's going to happen on the stock market on tomorrow, right? So that we can buy and sell, right? Should we buy Facebook on Monday or should we not? We want to have the gift of prophecy. People will be fill up your sanctuary. You know, if you're going to start speaking prophecy here, even you know all the mysteries, you understand all the mysteries, all the knowledge, and even you have a faith that can move mountains. But if you do not have love, you go back to that, all zeros. Without the one, it's all zeros. And Paul even moved on further, not just knowledge, gift, and even you give away your money. If I give all your money to the poor, even burn your body, sacrifice my body. But if you do not have love, I gain nothing. No, I'm sure if everybody said that, I'm going to give all the money to the church, no, the pastors will be taking you out for lunch, you know, be talking to you. Right? But Paul is saying that even if you give all your money without love, it's nothing. And I got this on the internet. You know, the guy in the middle is a very famous, probably more than a millionaire, probably a billionaire in China. And he likes to give out cash. So he travels to even to New York, to Taiwan, to different countries. He gives out lots of money. And usually he truck all his cash to a media conference. And they have all the reporters, the news camera there, and then he would like to hand out the money, and then people stand behind him and then shout, you know, he's a good fellow, he's a good fellow. So, no, his fear is that, you know, when I give out money, it's important that people have to know about it. I don't mind giving up thousands of money, but people have to know about it. So this is not love. So Paul said that even if you give out your money to church to help the poor, but without love, it's nothing. Your gift, your possessions without love is not nothing. Love is indispensable. So that's why Paul, at the end of chapter 12, he says that, I show you the most excellent way. So what is love? If I ask the young people, they will probably, I missed this, okay, let's give it. They will probably think of Snoopy here. So here's Snoopy, my favorite theologian. So he goes to the mailbox and then try to pick up a letter. And then Charlie Brown says, what's in the mailbox there? Right? And then, well, you got a love letter. How do you know there was a love letter in there? So here's the answer, here's Snoopy's answer. Well, the mailbox felt warm. It's a feeling, isn't it? It's a feeling. But is love just a feeling? Love is more than just a feeling. The whole Bible talks about love from beginning to the end. Love is the theme of our belief. Love is the highlight of our faith. What is love? Love is more than just a feeling. Love is just more than just being romantic. So when I was dating Cynthia, she's not here this morning. When I was dating Cynthia, you know, I have to talk to her every day. In those days, we don't have WhatsApp, Facebook. You have to actually make a phone call in those days. So I have to talk to her every day before I can sleep. So love is a feeling. And love is somebody you want to always to be talking to. But here Paul tells us love is patient. There's nothing romantic about it. Love is patient. Love is kind. The first definition, and it is the most important definition that Paul is giving us. Love is patient. Love is kind. Now, that is not very romantic. No. Now, who would you think of that show you patience and kindness all the time? Milka? Henry? Oh, Henry's not shaking. Sometimes Henry's not very patient, is it? Right? Okay. Tim? Who is always patient with you, never changed, the love is never changed, kindness never changed. But besides God, I mean, that's the model answer, okay? I can think of my mother. I think parents' love is the closest to God's love. More than love of your spouse. Love is patient. Love is kind. What does patient mean? So I look up the dictionary, the Greek dictionary. Patience is to be long spirit, not to lose heart. It's not just when you are saying your wedding vows that I love you, till death apart. But love is forever. Patient. To persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles. So even when the time gets tough, still a patient. To be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. To be mild and slow in averaging. To be long-suffering, slow to anger, slow to punish. Love is patient. And the best, the most closest love I can think of on the earth is parents' love. Always patient, isn't it? I saw this on CNN 2 days ago, in the news. And this actually happened in Victoria, Canada, but it was on the CNN news 2 days ago. And a morning, a whale mom carried her dead baby for days through the ocean. I'm not sure you can see that. Here's the dead baby whale. This is so touching, isn't it? And the mother carried her dead baby, this whale, for 3 days, according to the news. You can, it was on the CNN 2 days ago. Carried the baby, just circling around for 3 days. Now, even though the mother probably know that the baby is dead, this is the love for 3 days. Just circle around, and people took that picture. Real love, genuine love, has patience, has long-lasting. Sometimes guys and girls, even husband and wife's love is conditional. Right? The wife loves the husband. There's a condition that you don't have another person, mistress. Right? Once the wife found that there's a mistress, that there's no more love between husband and wife. But for parents, the love is forever. So when we have our daughter, Grace, that's our first child, Grace. And well, for the ones who are parents, you know that, you know, the first few weeks, you know, there's no sleep for the parents. The child keep waking up, and then you have to feed the baby. So I was really tired, so going to work, you know, no sleep at night. And so I went to work. I was an engineer, and well, I'm still an engineer. I still pay my fee every year, so I'm still an engineer. So I went to work, and one of my colleagues is a big, as a Caucasian guy, suppose 6'4", is a huge, it's like a bear. He walks, you know, the whole floor moves. It's a big guy, but he's a very gentle bear, you know, very gentleman. And we always look at him as a model father. He disciplined his children really well, and one of his daughters actually is a downhill ski gold medalist for Canada. So not too many parents with children was a gold medal, downhill ski gold medalist. So we always look, he's always a very gentleman. So I asked him, his name is Terry. I said, I'm so tired. For 3 weeks now, no sleep, no? How much longer we have to go through this, no, before I have some good sleep? And he said, about 40 years. I still cannot sleep. I still think of my all my children every night. So he was partly joking, I guess. But I think he's serious. So for parents, you know that we always, our love for our children never ends, isn't it? Even when they get married. And here, Paul is telling us, love, true love has patience. It never ends. And it's kindness. We do so kindness. Kindness, this word, only appear in the New Testament once. And so some people think that, you know, Paul coined this word to describe good and kind, the kindness. We have to be kind to people. I shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, or I shall not pass this way again. Be kind to people. Sometimes being kind to people is a decision. It's not, we always say that, no, that's me. But sometimes it is a decision. Show kindness to people around you. To people who are in need. Love is showing our kindness. And I like this writing here We can only pass through this world once. If there's opportunity, you can show kindness to other people, do it. You may not walk through this path. You will never walk through this path again. You may come to church every Sunday, or you may think that, no, I'm doing this weekly. But next week, when you come back, we are all not the same. We are all one week older. And the people sitting among you will, I'm sure, be different. There may be newcomers, and people may leave, go to other places. It's like when our Japanese student Sumika left us yesterday, went back to Japan. She wants to attend the church. So even when you come back here week after week, it's not the same. So when we have an opportunity, be nice to people. It's that simple. Love is just be kind to people. Don't wait for next week. Do it now. Love is patience. Love is kindness. When people show disrespect to you, what do you do? Love them. When people dislike you, what do you do? Love them. When people offend you, what actions should you take? Love them. When people wrong you, what do? The answer is the same. Be kind, be patient, and love them. We see love in Jesus. Love, nothing but love. And then Paul move on to explain more what love is. Love does not envy, does not boast, is not proud. And all three of these requirements of love is talking about putting down yourself. Love does not envy. This is the most challenging part for us, to be a loving person, to show our love. We all envy other people. When other people can sing better than us, we are not happy. Even when they can preach better than us, we are not happy. And if they do better in school than us, definitely I'm not very happy. So if I just give you an example, if in your class, in the exam, I give you two options, Ernest, two options. Would you want to be getting 60% in the final exam, but place number one in the class? Or you want to place the third from the bottom, but you score 85%, so which one would you pick? To be honest. You're not honest, okay. okay, so, but most of us, besides Ernest, yeah, no, he's very honest. But all of us, we probably people, I would rather be the first in the class rather than the bottom of the class. Right. We envy other people when people are better than us. But there's only one person in this world who probably would not envy you. If someone tells you that your daughter looks better than you, now would you be really mad? Okay, as a mother. No, would you be so mad that you go home and then at night I will cut her hair, I'll cut her dress, no, I put some poison in her makeup, so that next morning when she come out, no, she look so ugly. Then as a mom, I'll be so happy. You know, I as a mom, I will look prettier. Will you do that, Pastor Wolf? Of course not, right? No. When someone say that, no, your baby looks better than you, you're so happy. When your son is smarter than you, my son was young, I showed him how to change a fan belt. I said, this is a fan belt. You know, it drives the fan. You know? And a few years later, you know, he asked me to help him to change the timing belt. I mean, if you know car, you know the changing timing belt is quite difficult than changing a fan belt, right? You won't be, I'm a mechanical engineer, you know, I'm so mad, you know, my son had to tell me how to change a timing belt. You won't, right? So there's only one person in this world, or two persons in this world, would not envy you for your success, your parents, right? Your parents would not get mad. Your parents would be so happy if you do better than them, right? But not the other people, because your parents truly love you. The love from your parents is this: what is agape. Is it is so hard, isn't it, to see other people more successful than us? But just love. If it's truly love, the brothers and sisters in the church, we want to see them do well. We want to see them success. We want to be able to put down ourselves. Paul here is talking about yourself. If we want to exercise this true agape love, you do not envy, you do not boast yourself, you do not be proud of yourself. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. That's how serious it is. True humility is not thinking less of yourself. So, okay, I'm not going to think of myself. That's not true humility. But it is thinking of yourself less than other people. That is love. And some of you may have traveled to China and seen, who has traveled to China and seen the, in English, I think it's called terracotta, right? Terracotta in English, right? Bing Mao Yong. Who has, no? If you've been there, we went there 2 years ago, and there's about 1,000 terracotta that they have discovered. You know, they're really wonderful, beautiful. But all these 1,000 of terracottas, they're all damaged to different degrees. So each one of them has to be retouched, repainted, and to recover. Right? But there's one terracotta, only one, that they actually put in a glass box. If you've been there, you notice. And the tour guide will always take you to see this one. This is the only one that they actually take it out of the from the pit, and they put it up there in the glass. You can actually get very close to it. You can even see some color. And this one, they never retouch. And this is the one that is kneeling down. And the reason that all the other 1,000 terracottas are damaged because they're all standing up. So when the roof fell, when there's the earth moved, then they all tip over, and then they all damage. But this one, because it's kneeling down, so they miss all the damage from the falling debris. So when the earth moves and it still stays up, so there's less damage to it. So when we humble, actually, it is to our advantage. You stay alive longer. But this is the most important, to be able for us to express, to exercise, to show our love. We have to forget ourselves. We have to not do, that's not envy. You have to be sometimes like a parent, and not be proud. And love does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. Does not dishonor others. We do not do things as offensive to others, unbecoming. We do the appropriate things. Very often young people, they associate sex with love. You know, if you love me, then we can have sex. But Paul here reminds us, love does not dishonor others. So this is a requirement of love. Love does not insist on its own way. We very often like to say that be reasonable, do it my way. It's my way or no way. But love does not insist on our own way. We listen to others. A self-absorbed, narcissistic person, self-loving person, cannot act in love. Love is not possessive, demanding, stubborn, dominating. Love does not talk too much, but listens as well. Love does not insist on its own way. It is always willing to defer to others. Love is thinking of others. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. That lead me to think of our parents. I'm sure that at times our parents are mad at us, but if you add up all the wrong things, silly things, stupid things that you've done since you were born, you'll be surprised that how patient your parents are, and they're not easily angered. Yes, at times they anger you. Good, they're human, but your parents' love is a genuine love for us. They are not easily angered, and they keep no record of wrongs. The word record here is an accounting term. My wife, Cynthia, is an accountant. He has this gift of remembering numbers. When we serve in a small church, 140 people church for 3 years, he can remember everybody's phone number and cell phone number in the whole church. So I never need to look at the director. I just ask her, you know. so-and-so's phone number. So you can tell me. Well, because he's an accountant. This word keeps a record is an accounting term, but we do not keep a record, a balance of people's wrongs. It's easy for us to keep a record of people's wrongs than good things that they did to us, isn't it? If someone do nice thing to you, if the pastor was nice to you, you forget. The pastor visit you when you're sick, you forget. But I remember that one time the pastor did not wave at me. He walked by, did not wave at me. He think that I'm invisible. Then I'm really mad. And you may laugh, but actually I did receive complaint that I forgot to wave at a certain person Sunday at 12:30. I said, please forgive me, but so that's why from now on I just wave to everybody so I won't miss anybody. But if you miss somebody, he will remember you until the death. Pastor Norman is a mean person. I wave at him and just ignore me, just walk by. It hurt me for 40 years. You remember that. But you forget all the nice things that he was trying to do to you. But here, Paul reminds us, if you love the person, you do not keep a record. You do not see people. Small mistakes keeps no record of wrongs like this guy here. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And we are sometimes very often like that, isn't it? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoice with the truth. And we have to be careful by saying that because it's love, God loves the sinners, but we cannot tolerate the sin. Very often people who use John 3:16 and say that God loves the people. God loves all people on this world. So we have to embrace people who are not walking in the path of the righteousness. True love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Come to the conclusion. Paul reminds us as a conclusion that always. So it's patience again. It's perseverance. Not just during the good times, during the happy days, but always. Perseverance forever. Love always protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres. Protects is the word. Cover, did I put down? Oh, I look up the dictionary. The word protects is meaning a cover, a roof, to protect or keep by covering, to preserve, to keep secret, to hide what? Someone's mistakes. I'm not saying that, no, we don't tell people he did wrong, but don't try to announce it to the whole world. Oh, Pastor Norman made a mistake today. He misspelled one of the words in the PowerPoint. I'm so happy that finally I found a mistake. He pronounced one word wrong. See, our pastor cannot even speak English properly. I'm so happy. I'm going to tell the whole world and put it on my Facebook. When we love somebody, we will try to protect, cover, even their mistakes. Doesn't mean that we don't tell them. We don't help them, no. But we do not try to announce it to the whole world and so that we will damage him. That is love. Like your parents. If you did something wrong, would your parents today come and say that, my son did not brush his teeth last night. No, he's not going to announce to the whole world. No, he only takes a bath once a week. You're not going to say that, even he may be doing that, but you're not going to say that. No, you're trying to help your children. You always want the best for your children. That is love. When we have love, we will try to cover, protect, and to shield them from being hurt. Love never fails, verse 8. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, speaking in tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will be passed away. All our gifts will one day be not necessary, not needed, but love never fails. Love is above and beyond all these great gifts that we are seeking in Corinthians chapter 12. This is way beyond that. Love covers our sins. Love bonds us together. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. We don't have love in ourselves, isn't it? Our nature is hate, envy, impatient. Our nature is to dislike people, to see other people fail. Our nature is not kind. Kindness is not our nature. Our nature is proud of ourselves, our ego. Our nature does not seek righteousness. We delight in evil. We don't rejoice with the truth. Our nature do not like to protect other people. We love to see other people fall. Our nature is not to trust. Our nature is to give up hope on others. But true love is from God. Only when our life is filled with God's love, filled with God's Spirit, can we then love. We cannot try and learn how to love. It's only when God's love fills us. So when we look at ourselves today, we may be serving very hard in the church. We may have lots of gifts, even preaching, teaching, singing, prophecy, leadership. But if we don't have God in our life, our ministries sometimes could be damaging to other people. The harder we serve with our gift, with our love, the more damaging we are to the church. We have to have love so that our gift can be used to serve and build up people. Only love can build up people, not your talents and spiritual gift. And this is what Paul is trying to explain here. Without love, you are just a noise. It's not a gift. The other theologian, Charlie Bang, my favorite. Lucy, I don't want my heart to be half love and half hate. Hey, that sounds like us, isn't it? I don't want my heart to be half love and half hate. I want to be all love. Amen. Won't you say amen? Amen. I can't hear you. Amen. Okay. Amen. Okay. Good for you, Linus. All you have to do is lean a little to one side. See? Now the love will get a chance to spill over into the hate. Now, this sounds like a joke, but it is not. We have to fill our life with God's love. God is love. From us, we don't have love. We are born sinners. We don't have love. It's God's love that overfills us and spilled out of us. Then people will experience and sense and feel our love. But it's also a decision. So when I read this, it is a decision. We cannot say that I am this kind of person. This is me. This is me. You know? We always like to say that. This is me. I cannot change. But you can. Love is a decision. You can choose to lean towards love, show your kindness, or you can make a decision to be mean and show your disrespect and hate. It is a decision. Maybe walk by somebody who you need. It is a decision. Are you going to help the person or just walk by? When you see someone in the church who has needs, it is a decision. I can just walk away or I can participate and get involved. It is a decision, but you also need God's love. We are all Christians here, I presume. And God's love is already in us. We cannot blame God. We have to reveal our spiritual life. Are we living in God's Spirit? Is God's love filling our heart? Yes. And then next, we have to sometimes make a conscious decision to lean, like Linus, to lean over so that our love overcome our hate. And we can show love to people among us. We can show our patience, our kindness. and we can love the people that we sometimes find hard to love.